Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Thanksgiving Day 2021. Bring on the bird, huh? News, information, and comment coming your way in just 1 minute. Don't touch that dial.
You've probably heard it said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Quitters never win, winners never quit. When the difficult times come into your life, what is your response? And it may seem easier sometimes to, why don't we quit while we're ahead? This is not the kind of attitude that God wants us to demonstrate, however. Instead, we're to hold our heads high and press on through the pain. This comes as a shock to many believers. After placing their faith in Jesus Christ, they often are surprised when some unexpected hardships arrive. This reveals a terrible misconception. The Bible does not promise an easy life once you accept Jesus as Lord. In fact, the Word assures us quite the opposite. Jesus himself declared that if we're found in him, the world will give us a great deal of trouble. John 16:33. At the end of your struggle, you're going to see that God is standing with your reward. The crown of life, James 1:12. This is an athletic reference. Essentially, the crown of life is God's gold medal for a job well done here.
What in the world is going on this Thanksgiving Day? It happens. Boy, when you're on radio and television and people know your name, a celebrity surgeon, you've heard of him, whose face is routinely gracing television every day, has a huge open door, apparently, to enter the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania and immediately take the front-runner position. Do you know who we're talking about? The Washington Examiner said Dr. Oz is considering running. He would be bolstered by a vast personal fortune to invest in the 2020 campaign and enviable poll numbers that suggest a Republican would be an immediate frontrunner right to the top. The report said polling showed he unfavorable ratings registered 54 versus 12, with black voters 49 versus 8, and with conservative Democrats 56 versus 3%. Dr. Oz, can you see him as a his name best known for years, his nationally syndicated Dr. Oz show, recognized by 80% of everyone interviewed. Okay, they've told their side of the story. Now there's another side. You've seen the legacy media and the lefty network reporting on the January 6th U.S. Capitol. What was it really? Hordes of sword-swinging, window-smashing, drooling people supporting President Trump, who assaulted just not the country, but democracy itself. Democrats have said millions of times already, it's an insurrection, really. But if it isn't true, a new movie out today, Capital Punishment. Capital Punishment, being released today, reveals first-person accounts of what looked like, at that location, a real trap. The plain facts of what happened support suspicion. There were tens of thousands at the rally with Trump that day and hundreds that went to the Capitol. Many protested peacefully, including many people from the Cross here in Fort Wayne, about Congress's adoption of those still suspect, oh yeah, they are, 2020 presidential election results that gave the White House the Sleepy Joe. Since then, an analysis has confirmed that the legacy media suppressing damaging information about Joe Biden and his son, Hunter, enough that the actions likely changed the result of a Trump victory to a Biden win last November. Isn't that awful? Never mind. Oh, poor Nancy Pelosi. California has had some real serious problems, have they not? Housing costs, simply a joke for so many people. A reputation for life-ending forest fires. A social media that leads the nation in attacks on traditional marriage and Christians, you. And don't forget the possibility of the big one, an earthquake that films portray as turning the San Andreas Fault into another Grand Canyon and dropping part of California into the ocean and leveling city after city. No wonder. Here you go. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi apparently wants to leave, even though she's done much in her decades in Congress to make the state the mess that it is. After all, she represented there in Congress one of the state's prominent districts since the 1980s, before the fall of the Berlin Wall. Really? And she undoubtedly can afford it, because even though her congressional salary has been what most families would consider great, it doesn't get into the hundreds of millions of dollars, or does it? So now today, there's reports she's purchased a $25 million beach estate in Hobie Sound, Florida, about a half hour away from President Trump's estate. Nancy, Nancy, Nancy. Good grief, Charlie Brown. Oh, hey, I don't think it's too early. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas a month away, and then January. Hey, let's go to sunny Florida. How about that? Join the Southwest Radio team at the Central Florida Prophecy Conference. That's going to be January the 28th and the 29th at Cornerstone Baptist Church, located at 6725 Green Road down there in Lakeland, Florida. I think that's near Tampa. I mean, we've got all day Friday and Saturday. It is going to be great. Hopefully, Dr. Ken Hill will be able to join us then, the entire Southwest Radio team. We're going to unveil our new book, The Invisible War on the Saints, Victor or Victim, all happening down in Lakeland, Florida, at the end of January. I can't wait. Where's my bathing suit, honey? Yeah, like I'm going to wear that. Join us, my friend.
Well, I guess it was just kind of a glitch that no one complained about. For about 2 hours, Sunday night into Monday morning, an ATM near Houston, Texas, was spitting out $100 bills instead of $20 bills to people who withdrew cash. The call went out over social media late Sunday night. The Bank of America giving away free money. And now Bank of America says in a statement, everyone fortunate enough to have capitalized on what the company is calling a vendor error can keep that money. This was a single ATM in Houston caused when a vendor incorrectly loaded $100 bills in place of tens. Well, that's quite an error. Merry Christmas, everybody! Hey, a man lost a large chunk of money, but a good Samaritan made sure every dollar came back. Every year around this time, James Hills and his family donate money to a few local organizations. He went out to get cash November the 19th, and later that day realized, hey, where is it? He said, I was probably doing 100 different things and just lost the $1,200. And it got to the point a few days later that I couldn't find it. He'd just come from the bank. The money was stuffed in an envelope, meant as a gift for the less fortunate. But then it just disappeared and no clues as to where it had gone. We try to spend the $1,200 or less, whatever we can come up with as far as we can. And at that point, we see what we can do with it. It sends a good moral compass message to my kids, and a lot of people benefit from it. In the past, the family has donated to Children's Incorporated and the Lions Club, all kinds of things. And Hills had lost all hope. He saw a Facebook post, however, from the Orlando Police Department. It asked anyone who had lost something of value at a Silver Lake Kroger store to contact the department. He did. I started getting excited that there was a Christmas miracle out there, that I could keep this tradition alive, he said. A woman and her daughter had found the cash in the parking lot, turned it in to an employee there, and who called police. It took a week, but Hills got his money back. I love our community. I'm just speechless just thinking about this. I kind of get teary-eyed thinking there are people out there, good people out there, a perfect message for this time of year. Every time we do something good, it comes back. Some kind of message goes out there. That is great. $1,200 cash. That mom and daughter doing the right thing.
Now, this is good. Not everyone goes home for Thanksgiving. Please do not forget those who can't go home. Thinking particularly about our soldiers overseas now. Where's my Bible this Thanksgiving Day? Life 101, right after this important message. Thanks for being here. This is Hello World.
News, information, and comment from a Christian perspective, brought to you by this local Christian radio station, for which we are very grateful. brought to you by Greg Patton Ministries and the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and by you listening and telling others about the program and supporting this broadcast financially. Thank you so very much. Join us on Facebook. So many have. Greg, Jerry G. Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N.
I don't say it enough. Thank you for listening to the world, telling others about the broadcast, and we're so thankful for those of you that pray for us every day and those of you that support us in the one-time gift or on a monthly basis. We couldn't do without you. Thank you.
So, when does it happen? When you really start hungering and thirsting for Almighty God? At what point in our lives do we begin to do that? Does it begin at salvation? I don't think it does, because in Isaiah 43:21, God says, "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." If God made us for himself, naturally, he would then place in us a desire for him. So if this hungering and thirsting does not begin when a person is saved, it must be present when we're born. This would mean that every single person has within himself a yearning for God. What do you think? Perhaps you're thinking, if I did not know God until later in life, how did I have a hunger for him before I ever knew him? Now that is a good question. The concept may be difficult to grasp at first, but it's no less true. God places a desire for himself within everyone he creates. And it's also true that while some people discover and embrace this desire for God, others, the majority, never do. Let me give you an example. When a child is brought up in a home where he or she is exposed to the Word of God, a home in which the Bible is read and prayers are lifted up to God, this child will realize early in life that God has a place and a purpose and a plan for his life. This child will comprehend that the most important thing in life is a relationship with the Lord. And having begun to understand God's place in his or her life, the child will begin to think progressively about God and a loving relationship that he offers. I heard Charles Stanley say that a similar thing happened in his own life. Began attending church at a very young age, even before he knew why he was going. He listened to a lot of sermons. He also had early memories of his mother and her Bible. Charles said Mom would read it to him. Even though I did not initially understand everything she was saying, she would also pray for me and call my name before God. Even without knowing what she was doing, my mother was helping me to recognize the specific desire and hunger within me, which was for God. At the age of 12, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My decision was part of progression of an inborn desire for God that He'd placed in my heart. I can remember one of my childhood friends, however, who grew up with parents that did not go to church. They did not talk about the Bible or about God. And when I told this special friend that I'd been saved, he said, "I want to hear about that." Even though God had planted a desire for himself within both of our hearts, our lives took different paths. While my mom was wise enough to feed and water my desire for God, my friend was not so fortunate. He ended up in prison with no interest in God. Unfortunately, this situation is not uncommon. When a child has no relationship with God and no one talks to him about God, he begins to look at the things of the world and what it has to offer. And the world has a tremendous menu from which you can feast or drink if you choose to do so. If we don't realize that God has placed within our hearts hungers and thirsts that are to be satisfied only by God, then we're going to likely make choices based upon what looks appetizing and appealing to us. When we do so, then we're going to find that Satan's offerings are, wow, they are plentiful. His menu, money, power, prestige, addictions, and he whispers ever so subtly, "Seek after these things, and you're going to be happy." Whatever it takes, feeling good should be your number one priority in life, says the enemy. It makes me sad to think about all the things people do to feel satisfied and accepted in this old world. In contradiction to Satan's worldly offerings, God's menu is, well, it's small, very short. It contains one single item, as a matter of fact, but it's the only thing that will ever satisfy you completely. That's Jesus Christ. And with him comes peace and happiness and joy and contentment and security. We can own many things and attain many great successes in life, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, these things mean absolutely nothing. You will never be satisfied, never fulfilled, and never have a real joy or peace or contentment apart from Almighty God. A life, I'm here to tell you, my friend, a life without Jesus Christ is a miserable life indeed. Knowing this, then, we must cling to the fact that we will never be disappointed by hungering and thirsting for God. A relationship with God is intimate and fulfilling. The more you hunger and thirst for God, the more of Himself He will reveal to you and the more He will give you. Our thirst for God will also open our eyes to an interesting paradox. While we will always yearn for God, we will at the same time experience satisfaction and peace and a sense of completeness and joy in our life. This is the mystery and the absolute truth about the nature of one's relationship to Almighty God. While He's always satisfying us, of course, He is also continually increasing our desire and our hunger for Him. When we act upon our hunger and thirst for the Lord, we're not going to allow other things to become competition to God in this life. Many people misconstrue this God-given desire for Himself as merely a longing for companionship. They direct their yearning to love and be loved toward people and things that are not God. And then what happens? Satan takes advantage of that situation. The devil begins to tell his lies, saying, "Direct your love toward this person. Direct your love toward this thing, and it will bring the satisfaction you need." My friend, listen to me today. When we listen carefully to our hearts, God is also speaking. "I placed within your heart the desire to love and be loved." He tells us, "But I placed them there for you to express that love toward me, not toward someone else." Besides, your relationship with another person will never produce the sense of wholeness that you're going to derive from knowing Almighty God. Why don't you do that today? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," that's you, "believes in Me shall not perish, but have everlasting life," eternity, "in heaven with God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That can be you today, my friend. Why not do that? A hungering and a thirsting for God. Within every person is a yearning for God.
And then I would have you consider this.
Our thirst will always open our eyes to an interesting paradox. While we always yearn for God, we will at the same time experience satisfaction and peace and a sense of completeness and joy in life. That's the mystery and the absolute truth about the nature of our relationship with Almighty God. While He's always satisfying us, He is continually increasing our desire and our hunger for Him all the more. When we act upon our hunger and thirst for God, we're not going to allow other things to become competition for Him and our lives. But many people misconstrue this God-given desire for Himself as merely a longing for companionship. They direct their yearning to love and be loved toward people and things that are not of God. What happens then? Well, I think Satan takes advantage of the situation. The devil begins to tell us lies, saying, "Direct your love toward this person or this thing or things. They will bring satisfaction." But my friend, when we listen carefully to our hearts, God is also speaking. "I placed within your heart the desire to love and be loved," He tells us, "but I placed them there for you to express that toward me, not someone else. Besides, your relationship with another person will never produce the sense of wholeness that you will derive from knowing God." And this is special, that increasing intimacy with Jesus Christ conquers any lukewarmness that might exist. When you have a longing in your heart for God, no one will have to beg you to go to church. No one will have to plead for you to be baptized, to tithe, to live a godly way before Him. You will want to do these things. Why? Because you're in love with Jesus, who is fulfilling every longing in your heart. He knows the world cannot satisfy you. In His great love, He wants to provide you with the very best. He's that big a God. He can do it. When you hunger and thirst for God, you're going to be more interested in His Word than you've ever been before. You'll want to pray and to fellowship with Him because you place such a value on knowing Him. And best of all, when you have a growing relationship with God, the yearning for Him never stops. This is exactly the way God intended it to be. One of the most exciting things in life is the realization that your heart's deepest craving and your soul's greatest longing is to know more about Him. There's simply nothing as satisfying as the knowledge of who God is and what He's like. This knowledge will affect every aspect of your life. When you have an intimate relationship with the Lord and you long for His will in your life, you're going to begin to make wise decisions. You're not going to rush into things. Instead, you will wait to hear from Him. You'll want to know what God really thinks because you will understand that He truly, truly loves you. For example, when circumstances in your life drive you to prayer because you have no answer and no solutions, you'll be drawn to God and His infinite wisdom. Yet even in your despair, you will sense an abiding peace that grows greater and greater every day. As you draw closer to God, you'll realize that no matter what is happening in your life, He will provide a sense of completeness that passes all understanding and defies all descriptions. Again, there are two main menus in life from which we can choose. You can go to Satan's menu or God's. Don't you think it would be foolish to keep trying to satisfy yourself with things of this world? Isn't it time to feed your soul on something better? Even if you're thinking, God, I have never heard anything like this before. I don't know what hungering and thirsting for God is all about. Try reaching out to God right now. I mean, speak to Him right now from your heart, saying, God, I want to have an intimate personal relationship with You. I want You to open my heart and help me to understand these things. Tell that to God today. Tell Him that you want the kind of joy that only He can provide. You want peace and you want contentment only He can provide. Perhaps you've tried everything and nothing is satisfied. Ask God to show you the desire within your heart for Himself. This is the one request He will never overlook because it's what He wants for you above everything else in this life. He wants to give Himself to you, and He knows that He can satisfy every longing of your heart. Sure He can. The wisest thing that we can do at this moment is to tell God that we want Him to cleanse our heart and create within us a desire for Him so strong that the world will lose its appeal. You will find that nothing in life compares with a hunger and a thirst for the living God. Aren't you glad you're saved today?
Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Acts 16:30-31. And finally, this sounds a little bit like Mrs. Patton. Wife texts her husband, "Cold winter morning, windows are frozen, won't open." Husband texts back, "Gently pour some lukewarm water over it and then gently tap the edges with a hammer." Wife texts back 10 minutes later, "The computer's really messed up now." "How does this work?" Natasha says, "My husband and I decided we don't want to have children. We're going to be telling them tonight."
that's a good one.
Don't forget again, reminder, Southwest
Prophecy Conference coming up. That's going to be in Central Florida, down in Lakeland, Florida. Central Baptist Church in Lakeland, Florida, January the 28th and the 29th of 2022. The whole Southwest Radio team, Dr. Ken Hill, we're all going to be down there looking forward to that. And hopefully you can join us January 28th and 29th in Lakeland, Florida. I really hope you can make it. I just cannot wait to see you there in Lakeland.
You've been listening to Hello World. Thank you so much for being here each day at this time. Continue to tell others about the broadcast, and it's that time of year. Think about this Christian radio station, what you can do to help them along for another few months, my friend. It's all about giving and caring and others.
Let's be good representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ this time of year. And that's the way it is. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, November 25th, 2021. I'm Greg Patton. God bless. Have a great Thanksgiving.